whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Did you see what happened to that Seattle Kraken player? Apparently, he was having some fun with a Halloween costume, and he used some ink on his face. Now, I'm going to assume, you know what happens when you assume, he was trying to be Post Malone. Something along those lines. All right, because this ink is similar to what Post Malone has all over his face, visibly, face and neck, right? And the reason I know this is because there is a very popular betting app that Post Malone hawks. And when my husband and I are watching shows, like binge watching some of our favorite dramas, that, this is on streaming, that commercial is on every single commercial break that they inject into the middle of your streaming. And so we see it all the time. So I feel as though Post Malone was his likely muse. He wanted to be Post Malone for his Halloween costume. And he put a bunch of ink on his face. And now it's not coming off, Producer Pete. Do you allow your kiddos to use ink when they're doing their Halloween costumes?
No. No. No, you have to. The Party City, everybody. You can go get paint, and or go get something for your face if you want to put a mask on or facial paint or whatnot. Not just take random ink and put it on your face. Are you nuts?
Are you ready for this, Andre Burakovsky? He showed up to Kraken practice with the remnants of his Halloween costume. He could not get them off his face. So it looks like he's been tatted up. Now, there are some that are faded, and it's clear that he tried to get some of them off, but not all of them off. So he's got a new look for the Kraken. And yeah, it's... It's hockey's version of Post Malone.
Now, here's the other question. Did someone play a trick on him? Because people have swapped out certain inks.
Oh, wow. Speaking of,
yeah.
Apparently, so you'll have to, you might be able to find it. It's out there on Twix. I'm just seeing it now. Oh. He actually said he tried to get the temp tattoos off, but they were, quote, a little sticky. And so he's been unable to remove them all.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like he was played by somebody.
That's amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We try to have fun here on the show. That includes making up words. And in the last week, I feel as though I've come up with two really good ones. Two words that need to be coined in the urban dictionary or the regular dictionary, whichever one. Meticular makes perfect sense to me. Superbly. I know you can figure out what they mean. I put them up on social just to show you that I've made them and I've claimed them and they are my words. However, you are welcome to borrow them at A-Law Radio.
Also, until the trademark comes in.
Also on our Facebook page. Yes, then you'll have to pay us to use those words. Just kidding. We're not in it for the money. We're only in it for the humor. We're only in it for the entertainment value. But it is quite entertaining when I make up words. I know this. I just have to make fun of myself. Trust me when I say that's completely organic. It's not on purpose. But as long as I do it, I might as well own it. 855-212-4227. And then I'm going to put the post up on our Facebook page. But what I'm asking of you is after the Chiefs. Okay, so we're just going to assume. Again, you know what happens when you assume. But we're going to go ahead and give you the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a little bit like March Madness when they have those games in Dayton. And as you fill out your bracket to play a bracket game, we just give you the games in Dayton. Don't worry about those. It's a bonus. Okay. We're giving you the Chiefs. So you don't have to decide about the Chiefs. They're 6-0. They're the 2-time defending Super Bowl champs. Yes, they are the best team in the NFL for a lot of reasons. But after the Chiefs, who are the next top five or top four if you'd like to have a perfect number one through five. Now, this is in no particular order right now, but here's what I'm playing with, Producer Pete.
Okay.
Lions.
Yes.
Ravens.
Yes.
Vikings.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm just throwing things out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Steelers? You should see Pete's face right now. I'm not going to out Pete, but you should see his face.
I want to be there because of Tomlin. But they got so much uncertainty at quarterback.
Okay. The Bills do not have uncertainty at quarterback, but they've got uncertainty in other places.
But they're going to win that division easy now.
Right, but does that mean they're one of the top five teams in the NFL, though? That division is not anywhere near what people thought it was going to be with Jets, Dolphins, right, and Bills.
Well, they're not better than the Chiefs. They're not better than the Ravens. Not better than the Lions. And right now, if at best, they're even with the Vikings.
Okay, so we may not have either the Bills or the Vikings. Right. I suppose it depends on our perspectives. Let's see, Texans. Now, see, the Texans miss Nico Collins, but I love their defense. Will Anderson's a beast. He doesn't get as much, he gets attention as the defensive rookie of the year, right? But I feel like Will Anderson deserves a little more credit for what they've done, and D'Amico rides with that defense. So I'm also flirting with the idea of Texans in the top five. I know I've already got a long list.
I actually put the Texans above the Bills.
Commanders? Now, see, I love their quarterback, but he's day-to-day right now, and they've got a lot of rookies, young guys.
Yeah, not there yet.
Okay.
Not there yet.
Right, and I feel like in the NFC, the three teams that I would consider seriously come from the NFC North, but yeah, then maybe the Commanders in there as well. I'm still thinking about them. I do like the Eagles a lot better now that they have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back, but I don't think I can put them in the top five.
As long as Sirianni is there, he's going to screw something up.
Oh, okay.
No chance for me.
At Amy After Hours, and again, I'll put it up on our Facebook page, but after the Chiefs, who are the next best teams in the NFL? That's what we're asking you, and you're welcome to call 855-212-4227. In addition to that, we'll take your final votes for Monday MVP. It's a very tight race, actually. And I know that Lamar Jackson is not included. We throw it out there because we want you to vote on Monday. Novel idea. But we have three running backs, not including Derrick Henry this week. Three running backs and one quarterback. And each of them is a really cool story. So Kenneth Walker, it was his birthday, and he had both a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown for the Seahawks, who I suppose some might consider among the top teams in the NFC, not the NFL. Jahmyr Gibbs, he's terrific. Remember when the Lions were lambasted and roasted for selecting him? What was he, number six overall? Number six, number seven in the NFL draft? Yeah, remember how they got torched for that? And look at him now, alongside David Montgomery. Also, Saquon Barkley, who was dynamic in his return to MetLife Stadium. And I personally love what he had to say after the fact. I am so glad that game is over. I'm so glad I don't have to talk about playing the Giants again. Although he will, of course, at another point this season. But not at MetLife. He'll be able to face them in Philadelphia. And then Russell Wilson, making his coach look so smart. Did you see Mike Tomlin's response to this idea of him going solo and putting Russell Wilson back on the field as QB1, even though that wasn't necessarily the way the rest of the world was leaning? He said, "That's why I make the big bucks." We need that, Mike Tomlin. That's why I get paid the big bucks.
Good for it. He's right.
The buck stops with Mike. And I love that he's not afraid to take ownership of these things. He's not going to be bullied or pushed into something that he doesn't feel convicted about. So
none of your businesses.
These are the four candidates for Monday MVP. Always you can write in votes, and I've seen others for, say, Jared Goff, Beanie Bishop, who's the rookie DB that intercepted Aaron Rodgers twice on Sunday night. Certainly now there could be some votes for Lamar, but the guys we have in there, it's a really tight race among three of them. Y'all are dissing Kenneth Walker, even though it was his birthday. Come on now. And also Juan Soto's birthday is Friday, the day that the World Series starts, which I think is kind of fun if you can have that opportunity. I do have an update on the next door neighbor's obnoxious light that I will get to. But for now, we're asking you top five teams in the NFL, and we're giving you number one. It's that easy. Alan is listening in Toronto. Alan, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The Baltimore Ravens, that team is really on the beam. I'm so impressed with them.
Yes.
And they're hard charging now. I guess they wish they could have the opening game back, 27-20 loss to Kansas City and Las Vegas too. They should have won. They should have beat Las Vegas. They lost there. And here's a record that's going to be broken: 40 consecutive 100 team 100 plus rushing yards. The Steelers had 43 from 1974 to 77 back in the days of Terry Bradshaw and the late Franco Harris. So it's that record should be broken the way they're playing right now. Mm. And Lamar's five times he threw for five TDs. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes has six, so I'm very impressed with him, with Lamar. And he has 1,810 yards so far. He might reach 4,000 plus yards for the first time in his career. And Derrick Henry should break the 2,000 yard barrier, which he did in 2000 when he got 27. I'm very impressed with the Ravens.
I am too. I think that under Todd Monken, we've seen a different side of Lamar. And going back to last year when Todd took over as the offensive coordinator, it was clear that he wanted Lamar to take more ownership and to have more of that responsibility in decision making and design plays and put a game plan together that fits Lamar, but also gives Lamar some creativity, which is awesome. I don't want to get too far ahead. I certainly think they have the potential to do all those things that you're talking about. And I would love to see Derrick Henry be, I don't know if he's eligible for comeback player of the year, because I think now it's based on injuries, but I just think what he's done is terrific. He could be in line for offensive player of the year, but 2,000 yards, it's still a long way off, but man, he's trucking.
And the Chargers, it just burns me when somebody takes a timeout when the clock is about to expire, you know, timeout count violation. They took a timeout in the third quarter in a close game, and it came back to bite them in the latter half of the game. You know, those timeouts in the second half are very precious, and you should not take them when the clock is about to expire and you're going to be called for a timeout count violation.
Should you do instead?
I just say, just take your medicine. Take your five-yard penalty, whatever it is, you know, and that's it. But that came back to bite them.
Yeah, sometimes those 5 yards are more valuable than the timeout, and not wanting to put yourself in a position, especially if it's, say, third and short and you add 5 yards to it, that's kind of rough. But I do understand what you're saying. It's one of those deals where you burn a timeout early and you think, rut-row, that could come back to bite you in the A double curvy roads if you need to stop the clock later in the game. So, yeah, I understand. At the time, though, maybe you're not planning to be in a close and late situation.
Yeah, I feel for Chris Goodwin, too. He's had reconstructive surgery earlier in his career, and now his ankle, he's probably been declared through for the season, I believe, doesn't he?
Well, we do think it's we've heard that it's a dislocated ankle, which might, in fact, mean the end of his season and potentially the end of his time in Tampa, too. That's another piece of this, though. Again, that's down the road. I hope that that's not the case. I know that Baker was really emotional and upset about it, and some of his other teammates were as well. And to have it be so close to the end of the game is tough, because you feel like, we were so close to getting off the field, and now the loss feels so much worse than that. Okay, if you put the Ravens in the top five with the Chiefs, Alan, what other three teams are you putting there as best in the NFL?
The 49ers, they're a sleeping giant, aren't they? They're going to get hot sometime, and some teams are going to pay the price as far as I'm concerned.
Huh. Okay, so 49ers, even with all their injuries.
Yeah. They possess too much pride, and they're not going to be lying dormant for the rest of the year. And the Minnesota Vikings, they lost a close one on Sunday. And,
yep.
I'm impressed with them, too.
All right. I like it, Alan. Well, that's good. Thank you for calling with so much intel.
Always a pleasure, Amy. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course. We appreciate you listening. Let's talk to Robert, who's in Detroit. Robert, what do you think?
Well, back in the day with Detroit, we used to have to feed Kelvin, feed Barry Sanders, because that's all we had. Now, I mean, they're constantly talking about, like, well, we didn't give St. John or whatever that much.
Amon-Ra.
Yeah, that we got to feed him next week, and we got to, you know, that Campbell was really conscious about that. He's always trying to figure out, okay, you know, we got to make sure these guys aren't going to start getting mad. I mean, we got so many options. It's just crazy.
There's certainly a lot of different guys who can receive the ball, who can take the handoffs, who can break a play, great playmakers on the roster. But that's a good problem to have. I think if you're a coach, you'd rather be worried about keeping everyone involved than not having enough playmakers to make your offense go.
like when Montgomery got hurt, everybody was like freaking out, but all I did was fed Gibbs, and he takes off for as long as Ronald the thing for a touchdown. It's like, okay, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the two of them have combined already for more than 800 yards, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you're happy, Robert. Thank you so much for your phone call. 855-212-4227. Speaking of the Lions and their receiving corps, yes, Amon-Ra St. Brown is number one. Jameson Williams is number two, and he's actually facing some hot water. Not sure if you guys heard about this, but he's facing a 2-game suspension for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy, or banned substances, essentially. And right now, as I say, he's second on the team in both receiving yards and touchdowns. He's got three of them, and he was off to a really strong start. This is his third season in the league, so still under a rookie contract, but right now, this is a guy who we know has been having conversations, required to have conversations about his actions with the NFL in the past, because you may remember his gambling suspension, and that one was reduced by the NFL to 4 games, and so he got reinstated back in 2023. In this particular case, this is about banned substances, and the league don't play when it comes to banned substances. And so I have not heard yet what it is that he was suspended for, or what it is that he was banned for, I should say, or what substance was banned, Amy. What substance he was popped positive for. I haven't seen that part yet, but it does look like he could miss another 2 games, and this on the heels of violating the gambling policy going back to his second season. So that's not what you want, but Detroit has believed in him, and we'll see what Dan Campbell might have to say about this moving forward. We've got updates on injuries, not just QBs, but other wide receiver injuries and skill players around the NFL. Also, during this edition of the show, I want to talk about, in light of what we saw with the Cleveland fans cheering when Deshaun Watson got hurt, just this idea of how fans may or may not hold themselves to a higher standard. Do they even need to? Myles Garrett said, "This is not us. This is not who we are." Talking about Cleveland, talking about the fan base, talking about the Browns. This is not who we are. And he was referring to fans cheering over a QB's injury. In the locker room, a lot of different Browns were fired up. They were upset, not only about Deshaun's injury, but also about the fact that fans were celebrating it. and we're chastising fans a bit. So do fans have to hold themselves to a higher standard? I would say, based on conversations I've had before, some fans would say, hell no, we bought the tickets. We can react the way that we want to. Then you think about what happened at Texas over the weekend, where fans were upset about a call that was made against the Longhorns in their battle against Georgia. And they start chucking water bottles and debris out of the student section. To the point where Coach Sark has to go over. He has to leave the sideline and go across the field and admonish them to please stop throwing crap on the field. And so we'll talk about that a little bit as well. I would say in some cases, especially in college conferences, hold their fans to a particular code of conduct. But how do you enforce that? Do you pull the footage? Every bit of footage you have, video footage you have of the student section, and go through and find every single person who threw a bottle and ban them? Do you penalize the team? And how do you do that? A flag, maybe, or some other way to hold the team responsible, since you can't pinpoint all the fans? It's an interesting question. Not one that I have all the answers to, or even any of the answers to. But I've got another question out there, and John's responding. Top five teams in the NFL, if we're giving you the Chiefs. I feel like this is us allowing you to cheat on your test. The Chiefs are number one, according to John. He finds us on Twix at ALOL Radio. Lions are two, Vikings are three, Ravens are four, Packers are five. So John has three teams from the NFC North in the top five. That one's fun. I like that. Let's go big or go bold or go home. Why not? I mean, those three teams, they're going to be battle tested by the time the playoffs roll around.
That's a unique order, too. All right.
So putting the Vikings three, you mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's based on what he saw yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's his opinion. That he has the right to it.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens are low for me with my list.
Wait, they're low or
low on his list for me.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I think the Ravens, the way they're playing right now, should be in that top three. The hard part is, who do you leave out, right? And you can find fatal flaws with every team, but who do you leave out? The Ravens are playing extremely well right now, though, after the 0-2 stubbing their toe start.
For me, it's Ravens and Lions, and then the next tier.
Gotcha. All right, so coming up, we'll take more of your responses at ALOL Radio, at Amy After Hours, on our Facebook page as well. I've also got an update about a couple of guests that we've got ahead on the schedule. Really psyched about this. They're two completely different kinds of guests, but yes, really excited about both of those. And so Pete and I have been working on some stuff behind the scenes, so we'll share that with you too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
Here on third down and seven from the Bucks 13, Lamar wants to throw. Slings it. Complete. Henry at the five. The King is in! Five touchdown passes for Lamar. And with 6:32 left to play in Tampa, the Hayes and Lamar.
You know, I think we'll just keep it like we're just going to keep approaching every week, one week at a time, one game at a time, one play at a time, because that's what he's doing, you know, and he's doing it at a high, high, high level, you know, and I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him. He's a great leader, and he's a great player, great player. But we got a game next week against the Browns, and we got to bring our best, and that's what he's thinking about.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of John Harbaugh talking about his quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who had five passing touchdowns on this Monday night in a come-from-behind win. They started out in a 10-0 hole, but then rattled off 34 straight points and scored on six consecutive possessions. All hands on deck, man, from Derrick Henry to Rashad Bateman. Obviously, Lamar utilizing all the weapons around him, and he was terrific. Jerry Sandusky with the call on Ravens Radio. So now they've won five games in a row. Where would you put the Ravens among your top five teams, if at all? We're giving you the Chiefs. You don't have to worry about the Chiefs. This is an easy answer on the test. The Chiefs are the best team in football. But what comes after the Chiefs in your top five? At A-Law Radio, I'm a terrible host. I have not put the post up on Facebook yet. I will after hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Marco, what do you think?
I'll take the Ravens.
Daredreaming off into space? Daredreaming? No, I did it again. Daydreaming off into space?
No, I would definitely take the Ravens at two.
Okay, well, who else?
Lions, Packers, and Texans. Top five.
He's going two in the NFC North. We've had a couple of answers with three from the NFC North.
Yeah, look, the Vikings have done a tremendous job. I'm not taking anything away from them. I need to see more before I start thinking that you're one of the powerhouses in the league. Because to me, when you're talking top five, these are teams that can actually win a Super Bowl. I don't buy that the Vikings can win a Super Bowl. So I need to see a lot more.
All right, so you're not just basing it on what you see right now. You're talking about staying power.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Okay.
Another question for you. We've had a listener who is shocked and stunned and disappointed that we did not include Dallas Goedert among the elite tight ends in the NFL. How do you feel about Dallas Goedert?
Elite is strong.
He's above average.
Yes,
he's
but elite
top
is
five tight ends in the NFL.
Sure.
How about that?
But again, elite is strong.
Yeah.
There was a couple of guys, you know, again, the when I was talking about older players, Zach Ertz was up there at one point, but he's not there anymore because he's older.
Though he's found some new life.
There's not a lot of guys. I mean, you're talking about George Kittle. You're talking about Travis Kelce. You're in another level. You're in another stratosphere. No.
Tight end you.
There's not another guy that I could think of. And again, maybe I'm wrong. Goddard, I did think of. No, I don't buy. I'm sorry. I'm not putting him in that category.
All right. Okay. So a couple of updates and then we'll get back to our topic. This is super cool. I'm really excited. I don't think you were here last week when I was raving about hearing Coach Ron Rivera on Westwood One. He was part of an NFL broadcast on Westwood One, and it took me a minute. I knew the voice. I know that voice. Who is that?
Mm-hmm.
And then realized it was Ron. He was awesome. I think it was a Sunday night game, but I'm not sure. Maybe Monday night. And then I also heard him on NFL Game Day. So the way that NFL Network does their Sunday broadcast, they break it up into the early game and late game windows. And they have a host who's also alongside either a former player, a former coach, sometimes Scott Pioli, former GM. Mm-hmm. And again, heard Ron Rivera. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, he's so good. He's already learned the art of being succinct about his analysis, but giving you intel that you wouldn't know otherwise if you never played the game. Just he looks at it a completely different way, but also gives you bite-sized chunks as opposed to completely overwhelming you with lingo. And he's awesome. Anyway, Pete and I collaborated. We reached out to our friend Mike Eby, who's the new executive producer in charge of Westwood One, and he has set up a conversation with Ron Rivera this week on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Nice.
Woo! We are really excited. I've always wanted to talk to him for the show, and this is an opportunity. So I thank our friends at Westwood One. We have a mutual admiration society. I do some work for them. They help us out with other guests. So yes, this is going to be awesome. Looking forward to that. Now that's coming up Wednesday night. He's a West Coast guy. So yes, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, depending upon where you are. So really psyched about that. Also just found out, now you were here last week when we had an in-studio guest for a couple hours, actually. I couldn't get rid of Michael Duarte from NBC LA. Just kidding. I didn't want to get rid of him, but it was fun. I didn't intend that he stayed that long.
It was nice to have him.
Well, this is just among friends here, okay? So we got to keep it on the DL. No one can know this. So no one, you know what happens to snitches, okay?
That's
so
right.
Yeah, you get ditches. So the series is, of course, the World Series is Dodgers and Yankees, which mm-hmm. means that Michael will be returning to the New York City area. But this time, he's bringing his service dog, whose name is Mello. I can't tell you what service she provides, only that she's great company and that she is designated a service dog so that she can travel with him. So she's coming to New York. And I've invited Michael to bring Mello with him to the studio. Now, she's a service dog, which means that the company is supposed to allow if someone needs a service dog. So here's what I need to know from you guys. If I don't ask permission, but apologize after, should it come to that, do you have my back? Can we? Oh, Marco's about to bail.
No.
Look at him, Pete. Marco's bailing.
No, here's my exact thought. I would add your back, no problem, until about 30 seconds ago when you told everybody about it. It's kind of hard to do that after. It doesn't really work.
No one from the company listens to the show.
I mean, you kind of threw yourself in the ditch and said, somebody pull me out. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
We'll take it out of the podcast. No one's listening. From the company, are you kidding? They barely know we have a show here.
Is that the normal practice to do something and then ask for forgiveness afterwards?
It is for me.
No. In this building, that's the way to go.
Yes.
But again, you don't advertise it before.
Like
you don't announce it.
No one's listening from our company. Are you kidding?
Right.
I could probably break one of these high-priced cameras in here, and nobody would have any clue because they don't even know that we're here or I'm here. They know you're here because they pull you off the show to put you other places. Yeah. So they know where you are.
Let's not start with breaking the cameras. Please, can
also,
we not do that?
My contract's up at the end of the year. What could possibly go wrong?
You know?
Pete, what do you
855,
think?
855-2.
Are you with me? I'm just saying, are we going to pose a united front here?
Well, I don't know what we're really hiding.
Uh-oh, you guys are going to throw me under the bus, aren't you?
No, I don't know what we're really hiding.
Well, because a couple of, was it last year, maybe, or the year before, one of the New York producers down the hall brought his dog,
right,
not designated as anything other than just named Cooper, as a morning show bit and got in major trouble for it. Now, that was a previous boss who had a stick up his butt. So, you know, there maybe that was something to it because he wasn't informed ahead of time. But it's a different boss. And honestly, I don't think the bosses even know we're still here.
The
checks are generated automatically.
I don't think it's an issue.
Okay, good. Marco, are you going to be the weak link here?
Weak link? You think anybody's going to come to me and ask me about this stuff? There's no chance.
That you
There's
look
no
like you would not go down with the ship.
There is no chance somebody's asking me this.
My question:
again,
what if there's dog hair in here?
Well,
my question is getting the dog in the building.
Oh, it's a service dog. They can't deny the dog entry to the building.
No. Pete's right though. Actually, getting the dog in the elevator
off hours
could be an issue downstairs with the security.
See, I don't think so. I think if the dog is designated a service animal, what is the company going to say? Oh, wait until the morning until we call someone?
I don't think it's the company. It's just the security guard itself. Does he allow it to go through?
I don't know about him. This morning he was asking me for betting tips.
I was going to say, depending on what time and what security guard, usually when I leave, one of them, but usually asleep.
Usually asleep. Good point.
Sometimes
I walk out in the morning and he's nowhere to be found, and I'm pretty sure he's sleeping behind the wall.
9 out of 10. There's one in particular that I have in my head asleep almost every. I guess I usually say goodnight. Not to him. I leave him alone. Let him sleep.
Nah. All right. So just want to know if we're united on this front. No one's going to crack, right? No one's going to be the crack in the dam. No one's going to be the snitch who gets a stitch.
No one's going to snitch on you. No,
okay.
No.
All right. I'll take the fall if it comes to that, but let's hope it doesn't.
Well, I would
hope
so.
It's a dog. What could possibly go wrong? Anyway, I'm not sure what you're more excited about, Ron Rivera or Melo the dog.
I'm curious if he's a Carmelo Anthony fan? Is that where the dog's
name? M-E-L-L-O-W. And actually, I'm pretty sure it's a girl. I think it's a female dog.
Melo Yellow? Does he drink?
We'll have to ask Michael when Melo is here. Melo has been on planes, trains, automobiles, elevators. Melo's been everywhere. So he actually considered taking Melo to Yankee Stadium and then decided against that. And I said, that's a great, do not take your dog to Yankee Stadium, poor thing.
Does Melo sell shower curtain rings?
Planes, what? Trains,
no,
automobiles.
I
got it. Yes.
Thank you, Marco.
I appreciate it. Yes.
So that's really exciting. In the next week, we're going to have all kinds of special guests. Right? Cool. Okay.
Love it.
Glad that we're all on the same page. Yes. Mark, I'm telling you, Marco is ready to crack. A little pressure applied to Marco.
Wow, you don't know me at all, man.
And he's going to sing like a canary.
I think Marco's fine.
You do?
You don't know me at all, man. You would think all these years, you don't know me at all.
12 years we've been working together. I'm a little bit nervous about you throwing me under the bus.
Wow.
Although I know you're Italian, which should keep you from doing that. Family first.
I've never been accused of this. I'm actually a little.
It's your facial expressions that make me nervous.
It's not. My facial expression came from if I do this, I'm telling you my plot. Then there was, that doesn't make sense. Like, we could have just went through it. We could have went right forward and we would have been all good. It's when you throw it out there.
Well,
when you announce.
If the listeners think that I might get in trouble and get fired, they might keep listening.
Just between us and the 100 other affiliates out there.
100. There's more than that. Yeah.
Hundreds.
All right. Everyone just keep it a secret. We're gonna do this and apologize later if need be.
Keep one a secret.
Honestly, I think nobody's going to even notice.
I'm even questioning whether or not I'm here that night. Because it wouldn't shock me if I'm not.
See, he's bailing on us already.
Yeah,
it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. You remember, the snitches get the ditches and all other kinds of itches. Here's our latest sports update. Marco's face.
I've never heard this one.
Ditches?
That seems a little extreme. I think stitches was the idea. It's not, you know.
I'm trying to scare you.
Well, scare me. Yeah.
Can't scare the Italian guy with ditches. Come
on. Hey, I'm the Italian guy in here.
I know.
Here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And Amber, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Lamar Jackson, just a monster night for the Ravens.
Shotgun snap, back to pass, 7 steps. Jackson winds up, one pass down the middle. He's got Bateman over the shoulder, catching the goal line. Touchdown, Baltimore. 49-yard strike. And it was a beauty.
281 yards, 5 touchdown passes for Lamar Jackson. Derrick Henry ran for $169. Ravens outscored the Bucks 41-31. Kevin Harlan to call Westwood 1. Worse for Tampa than the loss. Mike Evans left with a hamstring injury. And Chris Godwin carted off the field, dislocated ankle with under a minute remaining. In the other game, the Cardinals upend the Chargers 17-15. Get a Chad Ryland 32-yard field goal as time expired. Kyler Murray accounted for 209 total yards and 2 scores. Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams reportedly facing a 2-game suspension for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substance policy. Washington head coach Dan Quinn giving an update for his quarterback in Jaden Daniels.
We'll put down as week to week. As you guys know, it's a rib injury, and we'll take him through, you know, all the steps at practice and assess how he's doing and keep working it through that. We're hopeful he can play, but we'll also make sure to take every precautionary step and do it smartly for the player and the man.
49ers lost Brandon Ayuk with a torn ACL while Debo Samuel's in the hospital dealing with a form of pneumonia. No timetable for his return. Dolphins plan to have Tua Tagovailoa return to practice Wednesday with the intent of him returning to the field Sunday against the Cardinals. Tua seems to think everyone's overreacting to his concussion issues.
I just think this is only becoming a thing just because of what ended up happening 2 years ago for myself within the sport. I hate that it's happened, but we don't look at boxers the same way. We don't look at hockey players the same way. But I just think because of what happened and the magnitude that had, that it's becoming more of an issue here in the league.
NBA Nuggets and Aaron Gordon agree to a 4-year deal, $133 million. In NHL, just one game, Maple Leafs ripped the Lightning 5-2 as William Nylander lit the lamp twice. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
We don't boo. We don't boo the guys that are injured on the field, especially, you know, with the extent what the card comes out. No, that's, we should be ashamed of ourselves. You know, as Browns, and as fans, to boo anyone and their downfall. It could be season-altering, career-altering injury. Man, it's not perfect. He doesn't need to be. None of us are expected to be perfect. Can't judge him for what he does, you know, off the field or on the field, because I can't throw stones from my glass house. But we need to do better. We need to do better on the football field, and we need to do better as fans.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Myles Garrett, who is out there playing through injuries, playing hurt, working hard for the Browns, and now admonishing fans who cheered when Deshaun Watson went down with what is confirmed as a torn, a ruptured Achilles, a torn Achilles, and his season is done. I certainly understand what Myles Garrett is saying, and it doesn't matter how you feel about Deshaun. You don't have to like him. In fact, you can think he's shady. You can think that he deserves to be paying in more ways than one for the number of times he's been accused of sexual assault, sexual misconduct. You can think that he's scummy. You can think all those things. What Myles Garrett is saying, just on a side note, you can also think he stinks at quarterback and you would rather have someone else. But all those things aside, what Myles is saying should be true. For a classy organization, for a winning organization, for an organization, and I know in the case of Browns fans, they feel like they've been put through the ringer, but for an organization that has designs on being among the best in the NFL, yeah, you have to hold yourself to a higher standard. He says, that's not who we are. That's not what we do. Now, he said we don't boo when a guy goes down. Of course, he meant cheer. When Deshaun Watson got hurt, there were audible cheers inside the stadium. And again, I understand why fans would do that. The offense has been woeful this year, not all on Deshaun Watson. That is for sure. The offensive line bears a major piece of that. I certainly get why there's buyer's remorse, why there's plenty of people that feel like this was a wasted contract to give him $230 million guaranteed. It was always risky, and these are worst fears confirmed. But Myles Garrett is saying we're better than that, and I appreciate that from the leader of the Browns. Kevin Stefanski confirming the Watson injury on Monday.
It's tough. So we feel bad for Deshaun in this case, feel bad to lose him for the season. And we also know as a football team, this is where you have to step up. Guys have to step up, and that's just how it goes.
So who is the starter then moving forward? Is it Jameis Winston?
Yeah, obviously I believe in Deshaun, but I also think it's important just to acknowledge that he just had a bad injury and you know, bad break for him. And we're feeling bad for him and know that he'll bounce back, but not getting into all those things down the road. I'm looking forward to him getting the surgery and obviously getting his body back. Yeah, Jameis has done a nice job really going all the way back to since he's gotten here, understanding how we operate, what we do. Feel really confident in Jameis as well.
Right now, the Browns are sitting at 1-6, and that's got to be adding to the angst around Cleveland, not to mention this injury with Deshaun.
I will tell you, this is sports. This is football. Teaches you a lot about yourself. You don't always get what you want. You put in a lot of work, and you don't always get that result you want. But you just have to respond. That's really where we're focused.
So the Cleveland Browns will move forward, likely with Jameis Winston. I still don't exactly know why it was Dorian Thompson-Robinson who was out there on the field instead of Jameis. Originally, DTR then ended up with some type of a finger injury, I believe. And so he was replaced by Jameis Winston. We'll wait to hear the confirmation about their plan moving forward. But Deshaun Watson is out for the rest of the season. Ben on our Facebook page, he says, I would say Baltimore's figured out how to use Henry and so that they are better than the Chiefs right now. Okay, but they lost to the Chiefs to start the season, so we're giving Chiefs number one. He's going Ravens, Chiefs, Lions, Commanders, Vikings as his top five. Who are your top five teams in the NFL if we give you the Chiefs? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.